May the reflections of my heart and mind be pleasing to you, O God, and may the hearts and minds of this community be open to hearing them. Amen. So, a few weeks ago, the results of a particular Pew Research survey entitled America's Changing Religious Landscape were published. Have many of you read it? As the title implies, the survey focused on the religious communities found within the United States and measured their so-called healthiness. Among the survey's results, it was shown that between the years 2007 and 2014, Christianity as a whole declined in membership from 78.4% of the population to 70.6% of the population. In numbers, this means that Christianity had a net loss of about 5 million people in 7 years, from roughly 178 million to about 173 million. This decline most heavily hit mainline Protestant churches like ours and Catholic communities. The survey also reports that between those years, there was a dramatic growth from 16.1% to 22.8% among those who are religiously unaffiliated, meaning that they identify either as atheist, agnostic, or nothing really in particular. The demographics of this growth occurred in all age, ethnic, and educational groups, but were particularly noticeable in my generation, young adults. Ooh, raise the roof on that, right? During these past 7 years, the nation's population as a whole has seen an increase from about 227 million adults to 245 million adults. A net gain of about 18 million people. Now, the results of this study have prompted many responses, both from within and outside of the faith community studied. Many of these responses focus on the so-called decline of Christianity, calling it the death toll of the largest religious group in our country. Many have celebrated this decline, stating that faith in a divine being is obsolete and no longer needed for humanity. Many others have been saddened and disheartened by the results of this survey, lamenting over the decline of a faith community that has been so instrumental in changing in their lives. Yet, what I find peculiar is that in all of the conversations that are floating around in our newspapers and all over the internet and Facebook, very few of them have focused on the changes that have occurred specifically within our Christian communities. Changes that are good. Though the numbers of the group termed religious nuns have been bolstered by young adults, so has the membership of mainline Protestant churches, a bit, just a little bit more slowly. In the past 7 years, the number of young adults committing themselves to Christian communities has grown from 14% to 16% of total membership. Likewise, ethnic diversity is on the rise within our churches, with 14% of all members now coming from a non-white, non-European background, as compared to only 9% 7 years ago. So, with all those facts in your mind now, let me ask you, is the church dying? I believe that our readings appointed for today can help us answer that question. Let us begin with our reading from 2 Corinthians. In this short but very potent reading, we find Paul writing to the church in Corinth, advising them about what it means to be in a Christian community and how living our lives through Christ changes us and how we see and relate to this world. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. This passage reminds me of a wonderful song that was written and composed a few years ago, 1999, by Stephen Curtis Chapman on his album Speechless. And the title of the song is called The Change. Now, if none of you have ever heard of Stephen Curtis Chapman or listened to his music, I'm going to shamelessly plug him right now. Go out and buy this CD. It's an amazing song. The song begins with him describing all of the things he has in his life that connect to Christianity in some way, great or small. T-shirts from parish retreats, maybe, mission trips, WWJD bracelets, keychains, necklaces, bumper stickers, doormats, etc. Sounds a little bit like our houses, doesn't it? Yet when we get to the chorus, he sings, I cannot help but ask myself, what about the change? What about the difference? What about the grace? What about forgiveness? What about a life that's showing I'm undergoing the change? That I'm undergoing the change. As the song nears the end, there's a montage of children reading scripture. Want to take a guess on which scripture passage they're reading from? I'll give you a hint. We just read it over there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. This sums up perfectly what the life of a Christian and a Christian community will be. One of change. One of something new. Notice, it does not say that the life of a Christian or a Christian community is one of power or wealth, one of vast memberships or adherents, but one of change. One that brings something new into our lives and into the world. One that is filled with grace, love, forgiveness, and justice. This way of life is very contradictory when compared to the life we are taught to live by broader society. Society outside of the church community teaches us consciously and subconsciously that a good citizen is one who actively engages with our economic system, making tons of money, taking out whoever we need in order to achieve it. We are taught that those who do not have wealth and material things are lazy, that those who cannot provide for themselves or their families just brought it upon themselves because they refuse to put in hard work. Our society attempts to teach us that we do not need community in our lives in order to achieve our goals, only ourselves. In every aspect of broader society, we are hoodwinked and fooled into believing that people bring the atrocities of the world onto themselves, earning them by the things they have done wrong. In broader society, we are taught that the world is a dog-eat-dog one, and that we must fight one another in order to succeed in life. There is no such thing as mercy, forgiveness, justice, compassion, grace, or love in any of those messages. Even worse, these messages force millions of people into the periphery of society, labeling them as outcasts and not worthy of being a part of the community. Yet it is those same individuals who are pushed into the periphery that God chooses to work through. Instead of working through those who are enveloped with the embellishments of power and wealth, God chooses to speak through those who have been tossed aside by the world, through those who know and understand what it means to be unloved, not forgiven, denied justice, and denied compassion. We see this theme occur over and over again in our scriptures. Which one of us in our right minds would have picked a poor, uneducated shepherd boy to lead our nation? God did. For us, we seem content enough to have uber-wealthy, educated individuals create and run our government, like it ever really did us any good. Yet, we still pick them because they seem to be the most qualified candidate for the job. I bet you, though, if we were to elect more individuals from the periphery of our society, our nation would have a lot more compassion for its citizenry, and we would be a lot better off. If a poor shepherd boy is good enough for God to work with, why isn't that individual good enough for us? The thing about God is that she works within our lives and within our communities in mysterious ways, always surprising us when we think we have it all figured out. I think the gospel for today makes this point perfectly. Today we find Jesus talking in parables, as we often do, this time talking about the holy nation of God. Now, Jesus could have described this nation with a variety of things: a great mansion with a swimming pool, a vast vineyard, a global empire, a roaring lion, an austere temple, maybe. Yet he doesn't. Instead, he compares the nation of God to a mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds known to humanity. Why do you think that is? On the surface, a mustard seed seems insignificant, like it wouldn't produce much of an outcome when planted and fully grown. Yet that tiny little seed, no bigger than what a dot, a penny, is in the palm of your hand, can grow into a tree that can reach over 25 feet in height. Now, who expected that? Something we thought was useless and not worth our time, God uses and makes something spectacular out of it. Whether it is a mustard seed or a poor shepherd boy, God chooses to act through them, because through them can the most surprising growth take place. So, let's return to my earlier question. Is the church dying? Though we may have declined in numbers, wealth, and power, we have grown in ways that are surprising and not expected. We see more of society's outcasts joining the Christian movement. We are beginning to lose our likeness to the face of power, but gaining the face of the outcast. The LGBT community, people of color, women, the discarded youth of our nation, the poor, the sick, the elderly. All these communities are joining us in our movement. Now, broader society might deem that as a dying church, but I don't. I have seen where God has taken the lowest of the low and raised them up, leading them, transforming them, and through them, bringing about amazing change in our faith communities and in the world. This is not our death we are witnessing, but God transforming us through resurrection. If we open our eyes and become aware to what God is doing within our midst, we will see that she is placing within us our own poor shepherd boy, our own mustard seed. How is God calling the church to change for the 21st century? Are we ready and willing to make the drastic countercultural changes that we are being asked to make? Are we committed enough in our faith to walk away from what the church has been and walk towards the new life of the church? Are we willing to let go of what needs letting go of in order that the Christian way can continue on for generations to come. Who and what is God raising up among us to be our future leaders, our poor shepherd boys, our mustard seeds? In the name of our most holy Redeemer, Creator, Resurrector, and Wisdom, Amen.